Good morning to you all. One thing I'm truly, truly grateful to the Lord for is that He does never let go. And even in those times when we are not faithful, even those times we are not walking as we should, even those times when maybe we go walkabout, to use an expression, the Lord never, ever lets go. The Lord has shown us, me and friends I know, His faithfulness. And He is faithful beyond our understanding. And that's even when we're not faithful. And this morning I just had something. The Lord has been challenging me quite seriously. So I thought it'd be good to pass that on, challenge you. And one of the things is that over the last month or two, I've been sharing about building His body. And Jesus is building His body. He's building it His way. And we just need to fit in line with Him. We're meant to work with Him. He doesn't work with us. We work with Him. And we're there, we've been called to be part of a body to build His kingdom here on earth. And sometimes we lose track of that. And what I enjoy about Jesus Himself and Paul is they speak using nature. They use the body, they use trees, they use agriculture, they use the weather, they put it in terms that even I can understand. And I'm sure some of you are way past that. But for me, it's easy to lose sight of what the Lord wants from us. And so this morning, I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And last week, Andrew was sharing from Romans 6 about the fact that we've been freed from the law of sin and we've been put into the new kingdom, that we're under the grace. We're in a righteousness that's been given to us. We haven't earned it, but we've been taken out of that place of darkness and put into this place of light. And we are free. He says we are free from being slaves to sin, and we are now should be slaves to righteousness. And so we ourselves are under grace. We are not under law. The question is, sometimes we still live like we're under law. And I'm as guilty of that. I'm sure none of you have that problem. But I find myself still guilty of becoming religious, legalistic, lawful. Because maybe that's the way we brought up. I don't know. But it's something that we all, as people, as humans, seem to gravitate to. So we've got to be very careful. And, you know, we are... Paul says we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The question, what does the new creation look like? What is the new creation? What do you understand by the new creation that God has given us? Jesus has died for us, and He didn't die in vain. And just a point here, we had Easter last, Andrew was sharing on the Easter message, as it were. And you know, one of the things that I find absolutely amazing is that Jesus went into the temple in the early hours of the morning. He was shouted at. He was spat at. He was slapped. He was whipped. He was abused physically. He was abused mentally, spiritually. And I honestly, for me, I can't help it. In human terms, I can imagine Him, and forgive me, Him standing and saying, "Father, You want me to save these people?" You know, what an incredible, incredible act of sacrifice that He made. And you know, for us, we are called to make that same sacrifice for others. He died for us, and He died in a situation where really, when you look at it, there was no reason whatsoever for Him to die for us. And so we think sometimes our sins stop us being saved. But you know... The Lord, we've done nothing, seriously, compared to what has been done in the world today to stop the Lord loving us and saving us and bringing us to a place of grace where we can live in that grace. And so the question is, how do we live? What should we be looking for? And we're talking about fruit. So I want to read to you from Galatians 5:22. And in Galatians 5, in the second part of the paragraph, he talks about walking in the Spirit. So when he talks about walking in the Spirit, he talks about walking in the flesh and then walking in the Spirit. And walking in the flesh, He's got a long list. You know, we've shared this before. He's got a long list of about 17, 18 things that are the result of the flesh, of what the flesh brings in itself. And it's generally ugly, you know. And so then he goes down to verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. But the interesting thing is it says that those who practice the fruits of the flesh, for want of a better way of putting it, will not see the kingdom of God. So we need to be careful about where we are and what grace really means to us. But I don't want to go in there. We can talk about that. But he told us to walk in the Spirit. And you know, we sometimes judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by intentions. And last week, Andrew was sharing from Matthew 7 about the plank in our own eye when we're trying to take the speck out of our brother's eye. And very simply, stop judging other people. Look at yourself. Paul, when he talked about sharing in the table of the Lord, he says, in examine yourself. Have a look and see what's going on in you. You know, are we producing fruit? And I'm not talking about going out every morning and giving him a squeeze to see if your fruit. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about, because you'll end up with all this bruised fruit, which is not good for you anyway. But what I'm saying is we need to examine ourselves. Galatians 6, when we go down to Galatians 6, it says here, I'll find it now. Where am I? Sorry, Galatians 6. But basically it says we should check our work, and we should actually make sure that what is being produced by ourselves is pleasing to the Lord. How often do you wake up in the morning and you maybe have a quiet time, maybe not, but you end up in the day and you drift through the day and you get to bed that evening and think, oh, sorry, Lord. You know, you've been living, walking in the flesh. You're not walking in the Spirit. And so we need to be very careful that we do examine ourselves, not in a lawful way, not in a condemnatory way. We need to examine ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to bring a conviction. One of the reasons for this is that the Lord has sort of pointed out to me, a little area of my fruits. And that is, I find as I get older, my self-control seems to be lacking. Now, I'm sure none of you have a problem with self-control, but I'm talking about the self-control in certain areas. You know, you think that you're dealing with your issues, and that's fine. We're actually, look at me, Lord. Gee, aren't I lucky? And you know what? When we're honest with ourselves and we look, the biggest problem all of us have is pride. And you know, the Lord calls us to have a humble heart, to accept what he wants from us. And you know, we need to have a look at what the fruit is. Fruit is a natural product of a living thing. So, if your flesh is alive, are you going to produce fruit of the Spirit? No, because the fruit of the Spirit is a product of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about, last week we talked about gifts and things like that, or last month. But we're not talking about the spiritual gifts. I'm just talking about your spiritual life. Because each and every one of us has been given the Holy Spirit. So we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. However you want to put it, but we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus lives in us. So the question is, are we allowing him to produce fruit in us? Because if we're not allowing him to produce fruit in us, the only fruit we're going to produce is the fruit of the flesh. And as I said, there's a lot of those which are quite dodgy when you get down to it. And none of us, I'm sure, have been a subject to all those things in any great measure. But you know, the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. And we need to be careful that the fruit that we produce, why are we asked to produce fruit? Any particular? No, okay. I was going to say, good question, glad you asked that, but I can't actually get the inflection right. But really, we are producing fruit for one another. It's not for ourselves. We shouldn't even be looking really for fruit in ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. But I mean, you don't stand in the mirror and say, oh Lord, I'm such a gentleman. oh Lord, such a patient man. Because I can't. I stand in front of the mirror and think, oh man. You know, it's like that old story. We talk about patience, but I want it now. And we cannot have fruit that just appears overnight. It doesn't work that way. Well, in my experience and the experience of those around me, fruit does not come overnight. It's got to be nurtured. It's got to be tilled. It's got to be looked after. It's got to be cared for. Any of you got weeds in your life? Ooh, don't answer that. But we've got to be out there with a hoe, and we've got to really tend it. So if we are looking at fruit, we need to understand, we need to tend the Holy Spirit. We need to tend what it's doing for us. We can't just leave it to, you know, it'll grow by itself while we get on with our life. There's some, there are men and women who believe that grace covers all. We continue to live as the Lord doesn't want us. But they think that because of grace, we can live that way. And, you know, we're reaching a stage where I believe, Andrew mentioned it, this pendulum. And going back into the 70s, I was around then, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending. In the 70s and 80s, there was a move of the Spirit. I mean, we saw things. I mean, we experienced things. You heard of things, not just thought. But it was like the Lord was moving. There were gifts all over the place. And Andrew was sharing about it. Never mind. We won't go into that. But there was a lot of the charismatic Pentecostal movement really getting very carried away with the gifts of the Spirit. And there were gifts. But one thing that you look at, a lot of those men didn't have the heart. They had the gifts, but they didn't have the heart. And you come to today where a lot of the church now are I've got to put this carefully, have got all heart and nothing else. And when I say heart, they are there where love covers all. Love covers all. In other words, there's a total inclusivity. There's a wokeness coming to the church, which is not scriptural. And I really believe right now the Lord is wanting us all to come to a place of reality, of producing the fruit in the Spirit. People are tired of false news. They are tired of the hypocrisy of the churches. They are tired with people preaching repentance. No. They are preaching forgiveness. They are preaching remorse without repentance. They're not preaching repentance. They're not bringing people to that place where they can serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And you know, we need to be very careful that we're in a place that when we're listening to people, and I've said this before, when we listen to people, when we listen to men and women, whoever's sharing with us, we need to see their lives. Do we know their lives? Do we know how they live? Because they may speak it. Are they living it? Do their lives reflect the fruit of the Spirit? And sometimes we don't. You know, the whole thing we've got to be careful of is that even my sharing here, Andrew, anybody who shares, is it opinion or is it scripture? Because there's a lot of opinion out there. And not all of it is based on scripture. We're all entitled to opinions, but not if you're sharing God's word, surely. If I say that, I'll say I have an opinion. But I'm trying not to have any opinion standing here. And one of the things we need to be very careful of is not producing faith. You know, out there are a lot of men and women truly doing amazing things for the Lord. The church, although we sometimes don't see it, is actually growing. But it's not the old church. So I need to be very careful here. There are churches today in this country that are dying. We're listening to a man sharing on the fact that in their diocese, or whatever you call it, I'm not too sure, there are 5 parish churches and 1 minister to cover 5 parish churches. It's the population's not there, the attendance is not there, the ministers are not there, and it is genuinely dying. But I'm excited when I see that in amongst the country there are churches that are growing, churches that preach the truth. You know, we've been listening to Colin Cooper. We listened to Ken. And you can hear the heart of these men to serve the Lord. The heart of these men to allow the Lord to change them, to bring them to that place of producing fruit to grow the church. What is pleasing to the Lord? And you know, we need to examine ourselves. I sit and look and say, Lord, what is my fruit like? Is there judgment in my life? Is there criticism? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about within the church. Is there judgment? Is there criticism? Am I in a place of being hypocritical? And you know, I have unfortunately had to really have a look at myself and say, yes, I have some of this in my life. It's not because I want it, but it's there. And you know, we've got to see these things too. And what we need to desire to deal with them. I'm not saying it's easy. Please, my desire this morning is to encourage you. Is to encourage you to allow the Lord to do the work in you that he needs to do. I believe we've come to a stage in the Christian life where the Lord doesn't want people talking about it. He wants people who live it. People can see the Spirit moving in. They can see the fruit of the Spirit. People don't hear what we say. You know, in terms of, I come out of a many years in sales. And one of the things they teach you is body language. And you can say lots of things without saying a word. And we need to be careful that what we are expressing is the fruit of the Spirit, not the flesh. Because sometimes when people speak, people don't hear them because they're seeing the flesh. They get the body, different body language. They're hearing something different, but not from what you're saying. So, you know, I myself, I've come to understand I'm not there yet. But Paul in Philippians 3 says, you know, I haven't achieved, I haven't made it, but I press on. And this morning, my desire is to encourage you all to say, Lord, yes, I want to serve you. I want to live a life of righteousness. I want to live a life pleasing to you. Does that conflict with your flesh? Oh, yes. Is it going to be tough? Oh, yes. Because whether we like it or not, we like the flesh. We like to pamper the flesh. And I use the flesh, by the way, just to talk about the old man, the carnal man. But the Lord says we're a new creation. Put off that old man. But a lot of us actually get quite attached to the old man. And you know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been trying to do it for about 40 years now. And he still sticks around. I don't know what the problem is. But sometimes you say, Lord, please just take it away. And the Lord wants us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And we can't do the fruit, produce the fruit of the Spirit if we're living in the flesh. And you know, I've mentioned it often. We need to be in the place of denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following Jesus. Was it Romans? It says we are predestined to be conformed to his image. What does that mean? What is Jesus? He suffered, died, and got resurrected. We need to live a resurrected life, the new man or woman, apologies. But at the same time, we can't live the new life if we're still trying to hang on to the old life. Yeah, and the two are in total conflict. You know, Paul, all these, the Paul, James, Peter, they all talk about this conflict, the flesh and the spirit. And they are definitely anti each other. They fight each other. But we've been given the Holy Spirit. And again, to produce the fruit, the flesh, the body must die. And I don't know about you, but that's quite a difficult bit. Because it's our favorite parts. We like to, my precious, okay. And we can't help it. But that's what there's so much encouragement in the scripture from. And Andrew mentioned something earlier on. I'll come back to it. But you know, a lot of religions that you get today, the teachings are accepted by people, but not the teacher. So you can read of teachings and you say, oh, that's good moral, it's good ethics, it's good, so we'll live like this. You don't have to worry about the teacher. But with the gospel, the teaching cannot come without the teacher. And so often we like to live a religious life that denies, yeah, what you were saying, okay. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power of the gospel. Is that it? I've got it right. Sorry. And you know, the one thing is, all of us, if we actually stick to looking after the letter of the law, we will never grow in grace. We'll never grow to that place where our fruit is being produced for the body. And you know, we need to understand that there is a certain amount of suffering. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people who don't agree with that idea. But we've been given the Lord. We've been given grace. We've been given forgiveness. You know, the question, do people see the fruit in you? That's a strange question to ask that. But I'm sure people will know who you are. People see who you are. I'm not saying that we should get up every morning, as I said, and look at the fruit and go, oh, Lord, look at my fruit. You know, to grow fruit, we need humility. Is humility a fruit of the Spirit? No. Humility is not a fruit of the Spirit. Mike, it's a gift. But Proverbs, New Testament, the gospel teaches us to humble ourselves before the Lord. Then he will exalt us. But we are called to humble ourselves. If we let pride stand in our way, which most of us know, me, I do. Got to be careful about that. But we try to do things ourselves. And we cannot produce in the flesh the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we have gardeners. And I don't know, there's a green-fingered man over there. I can't grow things, but I know that I've got to work at it. I've got to water my plant. I've got to, as I said, hoe it. I've got to look after it. And I can only do that by spending time with the Holy Spirit. Lord has given us everything. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Word. And if we spend that time, we need to spend that time with the gardener. I'm putting Jesus in the place of the gardener. If we're not spending time with the gardener, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, where are we going to go? We're not going to have the strength to deal with any of these things. But the Lord is challenging. And so I've been seriously challenged. And for many times, I've tried to do it myself, going back in time. The Lord puts something in front of us. We think, oh, that's a good idea. You know, the charismatics have, or the Pentecostals even, have got this incredible joke, people, where the Lord moves in the congregation. And that's the way they practice it for the next 20 years. Because the Lord moved what? The Lord is not. The Lord is moving. He's flowing. He's flexible. And we need to stay in touch with the Holy Spirit. If we want to grow as a body, if we want to grow as a church, we've got to be aware that we ourselves have got to allow him to change us. Because when people come in, they're going to, I hesitate to use the word smell us, but they can feel us. They walk in the door. Beautiful. They come in here. There's a lot of people. These good friends of ours say, it is a beautiful place. They are so friendly. Being friendly is one good thing. But it's not the friendliness that we need to practice. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's that love, joy, peace, patience. And we need to be in a place of putting aside our particular opinions. I keep using the word opinion. But you know, one of the things we need to be very careful of is I've seen churches around us where there's this knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge. There's no inward life. There's a false humility. And I said, people preach remorse without repentance. They preach forgiveness without repentance. And it doesn't happen like that. It's not the way the Lord wants it. And you know, one of the things also, there's this facade of religiosity. That's a good word for this time of the morning. Religious. But you understand what I'm saying. We can have this mask, this facade. But what the Lord wants is the inside. There must be this outward showing of what is happening in the inward. And my desire this morning is just to encourage you. We can't have... I've got to be careful here. Some people mistake religious performance for spiritual worship. I'm sure none of us here have that particular problem. And I'm not speaking to you because you have the problem. I'm speaking to you because I believe that I'm speaking to all of us who want to grow and serve the Lord, to want to serve him in a way that is pleasing to him. So what I'm pointing out are examples. When I look around, I see these things in other churches. And I'm saying, that's not what the Lord wants. People are seeking a reality. People read the news. They've been in churches. They've been hurt. They've been bent. And, you know, some of the excesses in churches blow my mind. But people are looking for a reality. In the days to come, there'll be more and more desire to see the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. There needs to be a hope in the world that they don't see or haven't seen or don't see or want to see. But we have that hope, and we need to let them see that we have this hope. We know we... We cannot do this ourselves. You know, it's important that we live a life that is worthy of the Lord. And I'm not, Jane's not here looking at a clock, so I'm actually all right for another hour or two. That's my introduction, anyway. So, what I'm, I don't want to keep you this morning. I said it's a message that is short, to the point. And you know, the Lord, when it comes to living this life, the Lord bears with us. He accepts, He understands when we sin. What he doesn't accept is when we continue to sin without coming before him and saying, Lord, forgive me. The Lord understands our frailty. The Lord was here on earth. He knows our frailty. He knows the weakness of the flesh. So when it comes to failing, we mustn't allow failure to condemn us. Failure is part of the Lord's plan. Forgiveness is part of the Lord's, I mean, that's central to the Lord's plan for all of us, is forgiveness. So why do we let pride stop us coming before the Lord saying, sorry, Lord, I've blown it, and carry on going? Because we can't expect, as I said, to become a fully fruitful tree overnight. And, you know, when we look at, Mark 13. Sorry, I have to check that. Mark 13. We look at a situation where Mark 11, 13. I get it right. When Jesus was coming back from the temple, when he went to Jerusalem before his crucifixion, he came out of the temple and he went up to a tree, a fig tree, that was in full leaf. And he was hungry, he says. So he went to the tree and there was no fruit on it. And it's one of the few times you see Jesus actually getting upset. He cursed the tree. He said, that's it, done. And they came back next morning and the disciples went, wow. They said, how did you do that? And he talks about faith and he talks about that. But the one question they never asked was why? Do you know that? They never said to him, why did you curse the tree? They took that as given. Do you know about fig trees? Fig trees have been grown, cultivated in that part of the world for 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years. I mean, it's not like it's a, that's why Jesus uses it as an example, because everybody knows it. But a fig tree starts to bear fruit before the leaves. I don't know if you know that, but it starts to bear fruit before the leaves. So when a tree is in full leaf, it's got fully ripened fruit. So when he comes to a tree that's got no fruit, there is an expectation by everybody concerned that that tree would have fruit on it. And so the Lord is saying, look at yourself. Are you a tree in full leaf without fruit on it? Me. This is the Lord has challenged me here. Okay. And the other scripture that we wanted to look at was in, I think it was, Luke 13. I'll get there. Luke 13, where the master of the vineyard comes into the vineyard and there's a fig tree that's not producing. So he says, I'll cut it out and burn it. And the caretaker, the horticulturist, which is Jesus in that regard, comes and says, no, let's leave it. I'll spend some time, I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it and I'll care for it and give it another year. And if it's still like that in a year's time, then let's cut it out and burn it. Because Jesus, the vineyard owner comes and says, it's wasting space here. I can do something else with this piece of land. So if we have a look at the history of the Jewish nation, the Israelites, my wife actually read it this morning. The first is Exodus 14. It says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they got really antsy. Now, this is, they're starting off, the Lord shows them this incredible miracle. They go through the Red Sea, they go out the other side. What's the first thing they do? They start bleating. They start moaning. They start being unhappy. And I'm thinking, guys, but you've just seen the incredible provision of the Lord saving you. They don't see that. Do we see it? Do we understand what the Lord wants of us? Because I believe we are in a time, I've got to get careful now. We're in the time of what we call the time of the Gentiles. But that time will come to an end, I believe. And the Lord is wanting us to be in a place of showing who he is through us. Not through what we say, but for the way we act, for the way we interact with people. What are we showing them? You know, we looked at the gifts. And Andrew and I were talking this morning about the gifts. We don't see a lot of those gifts anymore. And the question is, should we be looking for them? And I would actually caution you in saying we should be looking for the fruit, for the people who will bring those gifts, the people who will bring the love. They will bring the joy. They will bring the peace. In other words, when people walk into your house, what do they say? Oh, it's lovely to be here. It's such a peaceful place. Even if you've got kids screaming and breaking things, okay. But is there a spiritual peace in your home? Because that only comes from a given life. These things don't come for free, unfortunately. But you know, the Lord is wanting us to persevere, to produce these fruits for his desires. And you know, we take those two parables or those two stories that Jesus made. We need to be careful with our own lives, because I know people say grace covers all, love covers all. I don't see the scripture like that at all. You know, I was reading Charles Wesley, an incredible man of God who's used amazing things that he did. And he was challenged, said, yeah, what gifting, what ministry do you have? And he said, I don't have any. I'm not an apostle, prophet. I'm not any of these guys. I just have the gift of the Spirit. And each and every one of us here has the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of us have. He said, no, I have nothing special. But when he went to his meetings, because of his heart, because of his preaching, his desire to serve and please the Lord, the gifts flowed. I mean, there was all sorts of things happened there. And he said, it's got nothing to do with me at all. It's got to do with the Lord. But he himself had to be in that place of bringing it, being a conduit, being a facilitator, for want of a better word. But the Holy Spirit, once he got there, the Holy Spirit moved. He didn't have to go and sit and lay hands on people. People would be sitting there, they go, hallelujah. And he said, what's wrong with you? Ah, met the Lord. What can I say? And I truly, truly desire to see those days when it's got nothing to do with me sharing or whatever the word is, but the Holy Spirit moving freely and healing, touching people. I mean, whew, okay, enough of that. But you know, we need to be very much aware the Lord is wanting something different from us. And whatever we may have understood, we need to look again at the scripture and say, Lord, what do you actually want from me? You yourself need to ask the Lord, not for me or Andrew or anybody to tell you what you need, but for you to say, Lord, what do I need? What am I lacking? I use the word lacking because I've certainly used that word, because I am lacking in a lot of areas of my spiritual life. It doesn't matter what you see, is what I know within me and what the Lord shows within me. And we need to be careful that we practice humility. I'm trying to put in the right words, but we need to be humble. We need to be practicing humility. Do we? We talk about love. I'm not going to go into each of the gifts. I could be here for another 3 hours, I'd imagine. There's just so much on this. But When we talk about love, do I lie in bed in the early mornings as I'm meditating on the Lord and think, gee, Lord, what can I do for Andrew or Simon or Sarah, Claire? What can I do for them? What can I do to make their day better? Do we do that? I don't. Seriously, the Lord seriously challenged me. Because, you know, the scripture is very clear. It says we need to treat one another better than ourselves. We need to see what we can do to make their lives better. What can we do to help them? Do I sit in my lounger when I'm off the day there and I'm sitting watching TV or looking outside or listening to music? Do I sit there and contemplate, gee, Lord, what can I do to encourage Bernie and Jill? What can I do to lift them up? What is it that I can do? We don't think like that. But the scripture encourages us in lots of places, says, please do. Please think like that. We need to think like that. That's what the Lord's wanting to build. And then the last sort of point in closing. Okay, I'm still good. I've got another hour. Sorry. No, there's one thing I do want to share with you. And it can be before that. Sorry. No, I'll come back to that. How do we see trials, issues, and things, storms in our lives? How do we see them? Do we see them as the work of the enemy? Or do we sometimes stop and go, what am I seeing here? Because we need to understand that the Lord allows these trials in our lives. Peter, 1 Peter 5 says, why do these fiery trials surprise you? Hello, it's part of what the Lord wants to do in our lives. In John 15, he talks about pruning. He says, whoever bears fruit, I will prune. Now, I don't know if any of you prune trees. You know what happens when you prune a tree. There's lots of cutting and snipping. And if that was you, I mean, you'd feel the pain. Sometimes these trials, not saying always, but a lot of the times when these trials, these fiery trials come before us, it's the Lord pruning. And I have an understanding that right now we're in a period where the Lord is on fast forward. I see things literally every day. You get up there, we sorted that one out. And another one comes. And I think it's the Lord working our lives. And we need to see it for what it is. We need to see it for the Lord pruning. He uses people. And I was going to need to be careful here. But we meet some people and we love them. We think, oh, so nice. And then other people come and think, don't know about him. Don't know about her. Maybe not. The Lord doesn't ask us to be partial. He asks us to love one another. Does he ask us to love the world? Just a question. Do we have compassion when we see people in a really bad way? Do we have the compassion that Jesus had? When he looked at someone and said, he had compassion. Because there are some people out there who don't know, who have never heard of the Lord, who don't know the Lord, and they're in a bad way. Bless you, my brother. Bless you, my sister. Have a good day. Go on. I'll pray for you. Bye. How many of us are like, no, I won't say that. I'm inclined to be like that. And we need to be very careful that we see the Lord's pruning for what it is. And there are times, yes, it's the enemy. But I'm telling you now, a lot of these trials that come before us are of the Lord. He's allowing them. Because what does he want? He wants us to grow. He wants us to become more like him. You know, Jesus, when he was in the temple being questioned and slapped and abused physically, scarred. Never mind. I don't know if you had read any history about what scouring means. We won't go there. But he withstood that all and went, Lord, your will, not mine. Are we in that place? Genuinely, we're saying, Lord, your will, not mine. I'll accept this because it's for you, it's for your kingdom, it's for my personal growth. And to close off with, see, I'm going to close. I will. We need to know that we have the Holy Spirit. We need to know that we can call on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to call on him to grow us, to bring us to that place where we are producing fruit, where we are useful in God's kingdom. And I love two Old Testament readings, Hosea 14:8. It says, your fruit comes from me. And I love that. And if you read, I'd like to read to you from, don't laugh, I'm not too sure, depending where you are, how you pronounce Ezekiel or Ezekiel. So Ezekiel or Ezekiel, depending what part of the world you come from. But either way, we're going to share from Ezekiel, okay. Ezekiel 47. And I just want to say that the Lord himself is interested in our everyday life. Not just when we come here on Sunday morning, but he wants all of us. He wants a complete submission. He wants a humility from us so he can work in us. And we need to put aside our pride. But to read to you from Ezekiel 47 verse 12. It says here, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for fruit. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fall. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. And we all have the Holy Spirit. The water flows from the sanctuary. Psalm 1, Psalm 92, they all talk about the trees planted on the bank of the river. We have the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants us to call on him and say, Lord, you are my sustenance. You are my provision. You can change me. And allow the Lord to change you. And so my encouragement this morning is, the Lord is wanting a people who will be available to him. And I'm honestly expectant that as we desire to serve him, as we put ourselves in the place where he can work in us, we will see things and do things that we've never, ever imagined, ever. The Lord will do things in our life. He will do things in the church. He will do things in this country even. Yes, there is lots of opposition. Let's not look at that. We need to look at the Lord. Because if we focus on what's going on around us, we can despair. But the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so we need to focus on the Lord and what he will do for us and what he wants to do for us. You know, we are not independent. As we've shared on the body, we're all linked together in the Lord. And we can desire to serve him or say, no, I don't want to. You're born again, you know, and you don't lose your salvation. Well, unless you deny it. But what I'm saying is the Lord wants a people who will serve him in spirit and truth, who will build his body. Because we have just, to me, I honestly get excited because the Lord has got so much more for us. But we're not going to see it if we're not in the place where we can receive it. You know, the Lord wants something different. The old days, there was a gifting and the Spirit moving all over the place. But now, today, the Lord wants a heart where people will see it, feel it, and say, this is what I'm looking for, a reality. The reality of the Lord in our lives. And I believe that as we serve him, as we desire this, the Lord will bless us. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about prosperity of life. Prosperity of life. And the Lord desires to bless us. He desires for us to serve him. And he is forgiving. Because we're going to blow it. But it's not to stay down. It's to get up and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I move on. Amen. Amen. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here this morning. Lord, and I pray that your word would go out, Lord, and not return void. For Lord, you desire to do a work in your people, Lord. You desire a people who will serve you in spirit and truth. You desire a people who will be available, who will humble themselves, who will obey, who will submit themselves to you, Lord. Lord, help each and every one of us to be in that place of submitting to you, of obeying you, Lord, of allowing you to work in us, to bring the fruit of the Spirit that people will see and feel, Lord. They won't hear, but they will know that you are present here in our lives and in this church, Lord. So I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to praise you, glorify you, and worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.